This year in our worship, we have been working through 5 developmental tasks recommended by the Unitarian Universalist Association for congregations in an interim period, such as this one is, between the departure of one settled minister and the arrival of a new settled minister. The perspective of the Unitarian Universalist Association is that the interim period requires a specialized kind of ministry. So the church needs to do all the things that churches regularly do, plus the church needs to pay attention to 5 areas that will help the congregation confront its past, claim its present, and prepare for the future. I've summarized the 5 developmental tasks as history, leadership, identity, mission, and connections. I've used those 5 tasks as themes to organize our worship over the course of this year. Here is how those 5 tasks are described by the author Lauren Mead in the book Critical Moment of Ministry. He calls them this: coming to terms with history, discovering a new identity, allowing needed leadership to emerge, renewing denominational linkages, and committing to new directions. I've taken up those in a slightly different order. So here now, as we reach the final months of this church year, we are taking up the 5th of the 5 developmental tasks, the task that I call connections, or that Lauren Lee describes as renewing denominational linkages. And boy, did we do that last weekend. Last week, our congregation hosted the Pacific Southwest District Assembly, and my completely objective evaluation of the event is that it was stupendous. Really, it was a blast, a completely exhausting and completely exhilarating learning, networking, organizing, celebrating, challenging, deepening, silly, and serious party. I know that not all of you were able to attend the Friday evening or the Saturday programs, but I hope most of you were able to attend the Sunday worship that concluded the District Assembly weekend. We had nearly 200 in attendance at the 9 a.m. service and more than 200 at the 11 a.m. service, including a visiting choir from the Orange Coast Church, as well as guest preachers and many, many guests at both services from Unitarian Universalist churches around the district. I was proud to show us off, our amazing congregation. So many of you stepped up so joyfully to volunteer. Our beautiful church grounds, and the weather was perfect so we could enjoy the outdoors all weekend long. Our excellent staff, Raina and Francisco and Ronan and Naomi and Kai. Teresa, our office administrator, wasn't here for the weekend, but she worked extra hard during the week to get us all prepared. Our sextons, April and Melanie, everything went so smoothly and so productively. I had a great time, and I hope you did too. Did anybody have a good time last weekend?
Yeah.
So knowing that connections was one of the 5 developmental tasks that I knew we wanted to work on this year was one of the reasons that I was willing to pursue hosting the District Assembly this year, and one of the reasons that your church board said yes when the district brought the idea to your board about a year ago. What better way to work on connecting to the denomination than to have the denomination connect to us? So, with the District Assembly behind us now, what more work do we need to do on this theme of connections? Well, I mentioned to you that in Lauren Mead's phrasing, the developmental task of connections is described as renewing denominational linkages. But here's a slightly more expansive phrasing of this task for interim ministry from the book called Temporary Shepherds, edited by Roger Nicholson. He phrases this task as renewing connections with available resources within and beyond the Unitarian Universalist Association. Not just within, but also beyond the denomination. The need for this work comes from a tendency within congregations, when they have been with a minister for several years, to begin to follow self-replicating patterns of behavior, where the church does what they do, church work gets comfortable, and the church begins to forget that there are other ways of doing church, and even that there are other things that churches sometimes do. The congregation and the minister as a team start to focus on the aspects of ministry that they do well, the aspects that they feel called to do or that interest them, and over time, the natural tendency is to spend less time doing the things that they don't enjoy or that they don't feel they're particularly gifted at. So every church starts to exhibit a certain personality. Different churches have different characters. Some churches emphasize, for instance, a social justice character, or they're known for their great music program, or they have a large children's religious education program. Some churches are more mystical in their theology and worship. Others are more humanist. Some are conservative with their finances and cautious in their work, and others are risk-taking and bold. Naming a church's character is part of the developmental task of identity and also mission. When a church has been served by a settled minister for a number of years, the church can start to reflect the personality and the interests of the minister. The church can start to take on the character of the minister. It's a natural process that results from the position of the minister as the public face of the church and a leader who naturally has a lot of power within the congregation to start to shape the programs of the church. When the minister leads, then, the character of the church established during their tenure remains. The church continues to reflect the former minister's tastes and interests, even though the minister is no longer there. Programs that the minister started continue, at least for a time. The style of worship that was established by the minister continues, and so on. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Usually, there's a good match, actually, between the minister and the congregation. And many of the newer members of the congregation specifically joined the church because they liked the character of the church that they were joining under the leadership of the former minister. But it isn't necessarily automatic that the church should retain the former character of the church as they move forward into new ministry with a new minister. So the work of the interim is to lift up that other characters are possible. It's not a judgment, good or bad, or a recommendation, but it's an opportunity to say, you know, there are other ways to be church. Not every church looks like this one. Different ministers have different skills and different interests, and there is stuff that's going on in the larger world of Unitarian Universalism that maybe you haven't much connected to over the last several years. Maybe you'd like to know about those other possibilities and consider whether who you have been is who you still want to be going forward. Maybe now, while you're investigating and reaffirming your congregational identity, it would be good to get connected with those other parts of the faith you haven't been connected with recently. Even if there's nothing to change, we should at least be conscious of the character that we've taken up. So during an interim ministry, we renew connections. A congregation that has been going its own way and been healthy and self-sufficient under a long-term settled minister might need a little help once that minister is gone and a little consciousness raising about the spectrum of church-life possibilities that are out there. Churches with long-term settled ministers can start to grow a little inward, a little insular. It works. The system is working. We've got what we need. The interim period is a chance to look outward again. What else is out there? What else is going on beyond this home church? What could we add if we wanted to or shift to? And maybe there isn't much we need to do differently, but we could still appreciate a reminder that we're not alone here. This church is and long has been highly connected to our denomination. In fact, that is one of the characters of this church, known even to people who are outside of this church. Your extensive involvement in the larger world of Unitarian Universalism is part of this church's reputation. So there isn't a lot of connections work we need to do there, except to celebrate it. We have church members who have or currently serve on the district board, the National UUA Board, the Ministerial Fellowship Committee. This church is a longtime major supporter of Camp Venable Pines. Michael Saulwasser, our board president, is currently the chair of the District Chalice Lighters Program. I serve as the president of the Pacific Southwest Chapter of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association. Francisco Ruiz is a visible presence providing music at the UUA General Assembly. And of course, through our search process, our congregation is now well connected to UU resources in the Ministerial Transitions Office. Connections with the denomination is something this congregation does well. Now, if you've heard any of my sermons before, you probably expect me to say now, but actually there is no but in this sermon. It's all good. It really is. We are healthfully connected to the UUA, and we are making good use of the resources available to us from our denomination. Hosting the district assembly didn't feel like an invading army of strangers. It felt like a homecoming greeting old friends. That piece of the developmental task of connection is pretty solid, so good for us. So no but I do have a yes and. So yes to our denominational connections. And the developmental task, in the words of Roger Nicholson, is renewing connections with available resources within and beyond the UUA. So how are we doing with connections to available resources beyond the UUA? And here again, I think we are doing really well. But now that we've checked off the denominational connections piece with that blowout district assembly weekend, I want to spend the coming few weeks until the end of this church year looking at some of the partnership work that this church does in the larger, not Unitarian Universalist community. What are the causes and who are the partner organizations that we connect to in our neighborhood and in the community of Long Beach? So next week, I'm going to talk about some of the work this congregation is involved in around the issue of immigration, including our Dreamers Scholarship Program and the Long Beach Immigrant Rights Coalition and so on. Then the Sunday after that, I'm going to lift up some of the ways this church is involved in supporting the LGBTQ community as Long Beach Pride marks the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. But before I get to those kinds of partnership connections, I want to start with a different sort of partnership connection that is even more fundamental to the life of a church. The connection between generations, between our adults and our children. The connection within our community between generations. One aspect of church life that I cherish and that has changed my life is that a congregation is a community that includes multiple generations. Children, teens, young adults. Adults, some of whom are parents and others who are not. Older adults, seniors. Infants and sages, as we sang in our opening hymn. We of all ages, women, children, and men. I'm not a parent, so I don't have children, and I haven't had children in my regular social life, except at church. Most people socialize with other people who are mostly like them, including mostly similar to them in age. So only at church do we regularly come into social contact with people who are very much older or very much younger than we are. That's a kind of age diversity that is an amazing benefit to our life experience from being a member of a church. Children teach us lessons that we have forgotten or that we cannot teach ourselves. Children have a perspective that is true of our shared human experience, but that we cannot experience through our adult eyes. seniors too share that gift with those of us who are in middle age. And we at any age can expand our understanding of reality by exploring through our diverse church community how reality presents itself from diverse perspectives. What's required then to enjoy that benefit is that we make room for those diverse voices to speak to us, and that we take care to listen when they do speak. Sarah Moores Campbell, who used to be the minister of our Santa Barbara church, talks about the lessons that church can teach us from our opening words. She writes, "Give us the spirit of the child. Give us the child who lives within, the child who trusts, the child who imagines, the child who sings, the child who receives without reservation, the child who gives without judgment." Our own children are an available resource beyond the UUA that we should nurture a strong connection to. So what do you want for your church? We should ask our children. Where do you think we should go? What should we work on? What kind of minister should we be looking for? And what do you imagine this church might look like when you're as old as I am? Earlier this morning, I mentioned that we would be inducting several new members into our legacy circle. These are mostly older members of our congregation who hold a vision of love and responsibility for the future of this church, even after they will be here or no longer be here to appreciate it physically. That, too, is a kind of community across the generations that is yet another aspect of church that I cherish. Churches are the diverse community stretching from infants to sages. But even more than that, churches are this diverse community that stretches beyond human lifetimes. From our founding at this church 106 years ago to the church that we hope to be 106 years from now and beyond that. Throughout the decades and then perhaps throughout the centuries, the church changing and evolving, first this and then that, adapting and experimenting, holding strong to one way of being, a rock in a churning whitewater river, and at other times letting itself be swept along into new ways of being, moving constantly, growing and living, a living church. Free, but also tethered to this one strong line that connects us back through the generations, the founders, the ancestors, the remembered names, the living elders, the past presidents, the current leaders, the eager adults, the anxious young adults, the restless teens, the children, questioning, curious, excited, creative, hopeful, reaching out toward us for the tools they will need to build the Unitarian Universalism of the future.